indiscreetly said at the beginning of Mass, today is my 35th anniversary of ordination. And I'd like to tell a story from my ordination day that occurred on April 12th, 1980, that connects to this feast that we're celebrating today on the second Sunday of Easter, the Feast of Divine Mercy. I sent out a lot of invitations for my ordination, which was held at St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco, because in those days, Santa Clara County still belonged to the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And I sent out about 600 invitations, and about 700 people showed up. And so the whole section that I had reserved in the cathedral for the ordination was packed. And I arrived an hour early, and I realized there was all kinds of old friends and family, that many of whom I had not seen in years. And so I quickly put on my white alb, and I went out, and I just schmoozed, you know, for the hour before the ordination. And I lost track of time. Meanwhile, my seven classmates, we were eight of us being ordained together, they were waiting in the sacristy with their parents for the procession into the cathedral, along with about four bishops and 150 priests, and they couldn't start the procession because one of the guys who was going to be ordained was schmoozing out there in the cathedral. So they sent a couple of priests to find me. And when they got me, they said, quick, come with us. They took me downstairs into the basement to the secret elevator that brought me right up to the sacristy where everybody was waiting. And when we got into the elevator, these two priests and I, this nun in habit got into the elevator with us, and she saw that I was dressed in my white alb. And so she said, oh, are you one of the young men to be ordained today? And I said, yes. And she said, oh, then you must know Kevin Joyce. And I said, oh, yes, very well. And so, you know, I told her who I was, and she was just became very emotional. And I didn't know her. And she said, I have been waiting to meet you for 20 years. She said, 20 years ago, one of the oldest sisters in our community of the Holy Family was dying. And I was at her bedside. And she said to me, I taught a young boy in second grade catechism. I prepared him for First Holy Communion. His name is Kevin Joyce, and I believe he has a vocation to the priesthood, and I've been praying for him ever since I left his class, and I want you to continue praying for him now that I'm going to die. I was just overwhelmed when this sister shared that with me. And the reality that this woman, who didn't even know me, had been praying for me for 20 years, praying for my vocation, it was just such an amazing gift. It was a gift of divine mercy. Divine mercy really is at the heart of who God is. And in all of the difficult times in our life and the beautiful times in our life, if we will open up to that divine mercy, something always happens that is beautiful, even in the tough times. And that's what we hear in today's story of Jesus' appearance to the disciples. It occurred on the evening of the resurrection. And just 3 days before, these disciples that he appears to had abandoned him, except for one, the beloved disciple. When he most needed them, when he was arrested, when he was put on trial, when he was tortured, they all cut out on him. They were weak and cowardly. And their leader, Peter, even denied knowing Jesus. Nonetheless, 3 days later, when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, he didn't even mention their sins and cowardice. No doubt they were all filled with remorse and deep regret for abandoning him in his darkest hour. But in his infinite mercy, he gave them what they needed most. His peace, his Holy Spirit. And then remarkably, he gave these very weak, cowardly sinners the same mission that he exercised, the mission to forgive sins, to heal guilty consciences, to reconcile sinners with God, and reconcile people who are separated from each other to each other. The first responsibility of these first leaders of the church was to celebrate the mercy of God. Because mercy is at the core of who God is. and is at the core of why Jesus came into this world. In the year 2000, Pope John Paul II decreed that the second Sunday of Easter would be also called Divine Mercy Sunday. The opening prayer, you may have noticed, of this today's Mass begins with, O God of eternal mercy. God of eternal mercy. What a marvelous way to understand who God is. When we give in to discouragement, or worse yet, to despair, we are forgetting that the God of Jesus Christ is God of eternal mercy. Divine mercy knows how to pardon, knows how to heal, knows how to uplift, even in our darkest moments. My father died on Easter Sunday morning. It was such an incredible juxtaposition of one of the most painful moments of my life with the most beautiful moment in the history of humanity. And in fact, when he died, I was celebrating Mass at Sacred Heart Church on Willow Street, and the altar server brought me up a note after communion. I was sitting there, and the note said, call your mother immediately after Mass. And I knew what it meant, because my father had been dying, and I knew what that note meant. And at that very moment, the choir began, I was at a Spanish Mass, and the choir began singing, Resucitó, Resucitó, he has arisen. It was just another one of those moments of overwhelming sense of divine mercy, giving me at that moment of deep sorrow, a dark hour of my life, a sign of his presence and a sign of what was really happening to my dad. He was being risen. He was being raised up. Pope John Paul II was very interested in St. Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun who had lived in the early to mid 20th century. And Faustina, she was a nun in Poland. She had received a number of revelations from Jesus that had been thoroughly tested by the church and were considered to be trustworthy. And I'd like to read one of these revelations that really struck Pope John Paul and gave rise to today's feast of the Divine Mercy. These are the words that Faustina heard from Jesus. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though his sins be as scarlet. It is my desire that the Feast of Mercy be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. So today, Mercy Sunday, brings us our Lord's promise in a new way of an ocean of graces for souls, especially for poor sinners, as the Revelation said. Each of us as a sinner needs these graces of the risen Christ. And what does it to be a sinner mean? It means there's something in our life. It could be actions we've committed, attitudes that we have, thoughts that we have, ways that we have disconnected from God, disconnected from other people, disconnected from our true and best self. That's what sin is. It's disconnection from our true call to be God-like. And so Jesus came because we can't heal that by ourselves. We can't be free of all of that by ourselves. We need his mercy. And even those who are very far advanced on the spiritual journey, who are really striving for holiness, need deeper conversion and renewal. That's why last Sunday, on Easter Sunday itself, we renewed our baptismal promises, because no matter where we are, just beginning the spiritual journey, far along, we need deeper and deeper and deeper conversion, turning to the Lord, connection to Jesus Christ, the fount of mercy, the revelation of mercy. So in today's gospel, Jesus transmits to the fearful, astounded disciples the mission of being ministers of divine mercy, having experienced that mercy themselves first. And this gift is given to all Christians, all of us who accept Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, all of us who have been baptized are called to seek the mercy, receive the mercy, and to transmit the mercy. And only Christianity has the spiritual resources to bring the human race together. We see the horrible divisions in the Mideast, for example. Nobody is able to resolve these conflicts because the resources that are brought to bear now are not adequate. The only adequate resources are those that come from the Son of God, who teaches us to love not only our neighbor, but to love our enemy. And he gives the grace to be able to accomplish everything that he asks us to do. And so if he asks us to love our enemy, if he asks us to be instruments of reconciliation for other people, then he's going to give us the strength, the grace to do so. Today is such a beautiful celebration. This message of Mercy Sunday is addressed to all of us, especially those who are afflicted by a particularly harsh trial or crushed by the weight of sins. And all of us, at moments perhaps, are tempted to lose confidence in life and perhaps even to despair at times. But all of us are invited to gaze on the gentle face of Christ, depicted on the divine mercy image. And you know, on that image of Jesus depicted as divine mercy, there are rays coming out of his heart that touch us, warm us, fill us with hope. There's great consolation in the simple prayer that we pray before the image, Jesus, I trust in you.